Well, today we're going to be continuing our sermon series looking at hope. And today we're going to be looking at hope in the midst of grief. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And today we're going to be looking at chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 18. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that at this moment that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, that those who may be suffering from grief currently, Lord, we'll have you minister to them in this time. For those who have had it in the past, who are still hurting, that you will use this to bring comfort. And those, Lord, who may not have gone through it yet, but will one day, we'll be able to take some of the things from here and use them later for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, probably one of the most difficult times I've ever gone through was when I went to seminary. I was only able to be there a day, and then I got the phone call that my mom was in the hospital, and her cancer had come back. We knew that, but she was near death, and the next day I was going to see her, and I can remember being there and praying that she would be able to make it through. It was always her dream to be able to see me go to seminary, and so I got to tell her about the first day of classes, and then I drove back and saw her and then was with her that night. And then the next morning she passed away. And I can remember the pain and the hurt and just how I felt like life had stopped. And yet the next week I had to go back to school and everybody else's life was the same. It was just mine that had stopped. And I can remember just going through that and having to just, you know, suck it up and just go with it. And it was a few years later that I went through probably the thing that really just opened up the grieving for my mom, and that was when my aunt died. She was like a second mom to me, and I can remember getting the phone call that she wasn't going to make it, and I can remember getting on a plane from Bakersfield and flying to Houston. And I can remember just sitting by myself on that plane just crying like a little baby. And getting there, being able to see her, and got there about 30 minutes before she passed away and was at least able to say my goodbyes. And, you know, if you've ever been through grief, if you've ever lost someone dear to you, there's a pain that you go through that you just can't describe. There's what we know as the five stages of grief. Many have heard that you go through denial and anger and bargaining and depression and then finally acceptance. But there's so many more emotions that you end up feeling. There's confusion. There's shock. There's fear. There's anxiety. There's a true overwhelmingness that comes in your life sometimes of how are you going to go and live without this person. Many times there's this helplessness and it's sometimes just a roller coaster that you go through. And it's here that Paul comes and says, listen, there are words that can bring comfort in the time of grief. And today I want us to see how those words can come and to be able to bring hope. And That word there for comfort is the same word that is used in describing the Holy Spirit. The one who comes alongside is the paraclete. And this is the word paracleo. It means to come alongside and to minister to. And so as we look at these words today, they can come alongside of us and to be able to give us strength. And the first thing I want you to see in verse 13 is that we need hope that comes from the truth of the gospel. Hope that comes from the truth of the gospel. Notice he says in verse 13, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians out there who are ignorant. And what Paul says is that there's a lot of doctrines that every Christian should know. We should know to understand what is the authority of the scripture and be able to back that up. We should be able to explain the Trinity. We should be able to explain who Christ is and his work. We should be able to explain the nature of Christ. And something that we all should be able to explain is what happens when we die. And this church here was, again, newly formed. You have to remember all these churches were newly formed. They were coming from a pagan culture. They didn't have a Christian worldview. And so their idea of death was that, like many back then, that when you died, you just stopped existing. And so they were waiting for the return of Christ. And they had this belief that the people who had already died were going to miss the resurrection because Christ hadn't come yet. And in that culture, there were many people who were dying. Christians were being persecuted. We also know that the mortality rate was extremely high. If you were a baby, it was probably close to 50% when there was disease and plagues like we have. We still have good health care, but back then they didn't. And so a lot of people were dying and a lot of their friends and their family. And Paul's writing, he says, why are you mourning and grieving like the world that has no hope? We should be different if we are Christians. Amen. And so he comes here and he says, listen, I want you to understand that there is something that we can hold to. And he says in verse 14, if we believe. And this word for belief is not just that we know things in our head, but it's that it transforms into our heart. It moves us into action. You know, it's sort of like exercise. We all know that exercise will help us lose weight, amen? But there's some of us that all know it up here, but we don't know it to where we're actually getting up and running in the morning, right? There's a difference between belief in our head and belief that we're actually applying to our life. And what he's saying here is we need to believe this. And the first thing he says is we have to believe that Jesus died and rose again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he says in verse 14, and we have to believe that the gospel, and this is what we need to understand, that if you have died without Christ, and you have not come to the place where you have understood that Jesus died for your sins and rose 3 days later to give you eternal life, then when you die, you're not going to heaven, but you're going to experience the penalty of your sins. And you'll be separated from God forever. And so you're going to face judgment. The Bible says that you die once and then you face the judgment in Hebrews. And so if you're not a Christian, then there is no happiness that one day you will see your loved ones, because you won't. Because you won't be with them in heaven. And you won't be with God in heaven. But what he says, listen, if you are one who believes, then you can have the assurance that you will be with God and those who also, who were your family and your friends who were Christians. If they die, then you can have the assurance that they also will be with God in heaven. And so we are compelled then to make sure that we ask this question. Number one, do we truly believe the gospel? Not do we understand it in our head, but do we believe it? Are we enacting it so that it is actually giving us hope in our life? And then the second thing is are there loved ones that you know, people that you work with, family members, friends who don't know Christ, then we should be compelled to be able to share with them the good news of the gospel. The second thing we see here that we have to be able to hold to is true is that believers do not die. They just simply move to heaven. Notice he says again in verse 14, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And I love that word there. He doesn't say that the word there for is that they're dead. He says that they are asleep. And while this is a word that is referring to the fact that they're not here anymore, that they are dead, what it's saying is a word that was actually used to describe an inn. And so what it was a place that you would go where you would temporarily be asleep and temporarily use for your home. And what he's saying is listen, the body has stopped working. The body is temporarily not going to be used. But what we do know is that our soul is immediately with God in heaven if we are a believer in Jesus. Jesus told us this in John chapter 11, verse 25. He says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked the question that we all must answer. Do you believe this? So what happens to our soul? Well, we studied when we started this series looking at John chapter 14. And it said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we know that when we die, that we will be with Jesus. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, yes, we are confident. Yes, well, please, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So if you are a believer in Jesus and you die, this is what happens. You are immediately brought into heaven. And your soul is with Jesus. And you are there in his presence. And when you know that, man, that gives you comfort, doesn't it? You know, as much as I miss my mom and as much as I miss my aunt, I wouldn't want them to come back. Because I know that where they are is far, far greater than this life. And so it brings comfort. And we need to use these words to ponder that, to think about the fact that those loved ones who are know Christ, they are actually with Jesus. And then I want you to see that we also see that a party is being prepared. Notice it says in verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. When I was a kid, I have to be honest, I hated family reunions. I don't know if you ever went to a family reunion as a kid, but usually you went there and you met a bunch of relatives that you didn't know. And so it was just weird. But, you know, as I've gotten older, I long to go to family reunions. As many of you know, my family's back in North Carolina, and so I don't get to go very often. And one of the great things that I look forward to is being able to go back and see my dad, and to see all my brothers and sisters and their kids, and just be able to get together and eat and to fellowship and to relive stories. We always go out and we play wiffle ball, and no matter how many times we do it, it always ends up in a fight. Anybody know how that is? And you got another story to tell the next family reunion, you know? But man, I just love being with family. And what's so awesome and so great is that one day the trumpet is going to sound. And this is what's going to happen. It says that those who are dead in Christ, their bodies will be raised first. And so their bodies will join their soul and then they'll be in the air and they'll be with Jesus and they'll be waiting. And then those of us who are still alive at that time will be caught up when we hear that trumpet to be with Jesus. It's known as the rapture. And the church will be with Jesus. And it says here, listen, you're going to be together and you will never be separated again. And isn't that going to be awesome to know that you will never, ever have to go through grief again, that when you're with your loved ones, if they know Christ, then you'll be together. And man, can you imagine what that family banquet is going to be like? It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And we're going to get together and we're going to eat and fellowship and have a worship time like we have never, ever had before in our life. And we get to share it with all of our family, everybody that we know that also loves Jesus. We're all going to be together and in his presence. And we get to celebrate the fact that we have victory over sin and death. And we get to actually walk in our new bodies on the streets of gold and eat from the tree of life. There'll never be any more family arguments, no more gossip. No one will ever say anything to hurt you. You'll just be with people who just love God and love you. And in our world today, isn't that something that we can actually truly long for? Is to be a place where there is no evil and there's only good. And then notice he says, and this will be forever. We don't ever have to worry about it ending. We shall always, always be with the Lord. And then it's no wonder that Paul says at the end here, therefore you can comfort one another with these words. And you know we can. When we think about that, we know where we're going to be, and if we have a loved one who knows Jesus, we know where they are, and we hold on to that hope that one day we will be together and it will be worth it. Death is painful. And I'm not saying you don't cry, you don't sorrow. We know that Jesus wept when he was there with Lazarus' funeral. But what I am saying is that Christian, we need to grieve differently than those who are part of the world, amen, because we know this truth. We know that Christ has defeated death. And so while the separation is difficult and the grief is painful and the loneliness is real and so is the void, know also that the reunion and the coming together is real. And there will be laughter, there will be joy, there will be hugs, and we'll have it forever. So as we close today, I want you to think about three things. Number one, do you truly believe the gospel? I'm not asking you, can you repeat the gospel back to me? Not, can you give me the facts that you have it in your head? But do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin? You have gone to him and you have confessed your sin and you have given that, you've had that transaction, and understand that he died in your place and 3 days later he rose again, and you really believe that he is alive and you live your life trusting in him and following him and believing in him. And if you do, then you know that there's a hope. And if you haven't done that, today, all you have to do is simply admit that you have done things to disobey him, that you have sinned. And Jesus says that whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. And so if you believe that he died for you and rose again, today you can have eternal life. Secondly, if you're a Christian, I want you to grieve, but I want you to grieve with hope. You know, if you look at the Jewish custom, they had 7 days where when they would grieve, they would just sort of get alone and not talk. They would just sort of allow there to be a time of mourning, a time of hurt, a time of pain. Friends would come, but they wouldn't say anything. They would just be there. to maybe bring some food and just give support, but they would just leave alone and allow that person just the ministry of presence. And then they would have a 30-day period where it would help them to begin to readjust, and as they begin to want to talk and to share and do those stories, they would do that. And then they would have a whole year that they would sort of step away and they would reflect upon what this person did and remembering them and all the things that they went through with them. And you know, I think that it's important that if you're a Christian, that it's you understand it's okay to grieve. You need to grieve. You need to go through that hurt. Death wasn't something that God desired. It was something that we chose. We disobeyed God, and therefore we brought death into the world. But aren't we thankful that we have a Savior who has remedied that? And he has died, and he paid the penalty so that one day, as he said here, if you're a believer, you don't die. You just move. And we get to move to a great place. And so we look forward to the day that we will all move. But that leads to the last point. Why are we still here? Because we need to share the gospel. And I am burdened that we need to be more bold as Christians in sharing the gospel today than we ever have. Man, we live in some crazy times. And I wish in some ways that these times didn't exist, but in other ways, I'm excited about it. Because it's changed the whole paradigm, and it's awakened us that says, you know what? We need to bring people the gospel. We can't wait for them just to come here. We have to go and tell them. And so I want to encourage you, as the people that know the hope, will you take the hope to those who need to know it and love them enough and give them the gospel so that one day they can have that assurance, and that one day when you die, you'll be with them, and together you can worship our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your word and your truth. We thank you for, Lord, the hope that we can have even in the most difficult time when we lose a loved one. And Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here today who has never accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord, if there's someone online listening who has never put their trust, and they understand that if they were to die right now, they wouldn't go to heaven. They would unfortunately experience the justice of God, and they would be separated from him and experience, Lord, the punishment for their sin. But Lord, they understand that if they would just simply confess their wrong and understand that Jesus took that punishment and rose again to give them life, that today they can be assured that when they die, they would just move to heaven. And their soul would be there. And one day their resurrected body will come. And Lord, they'll be with their friends and their families also who believe in Jesus. And Lord, we'll be together forever. And Lord, I just pray today that the persons that are making that decision will just come right now and say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I'm ready to trust you. I'm ready to move from this belief of having something in my head to putting it in my life. And Lord, I'm ready to trust you, and I'm going to rest in that hope. I'm ready to follow you as my Savior and Lord Jesus. And Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that we will grieve with hope and that we will take this gospel and share it with others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning online and you made that decision to accept Christ as your Savior for the first time, I'd like for you to take out your cell phone, and if you would text the word HOPE, H-O-P-E, to the number 661-228-0556. That's 661-228-0556. We have some information that our church would like to be able to send you to be able to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. Also, if you have a prayer request, you can text PRAY to that number. Again, the word PRAY to 661-228-0556. And we would consider it a great privilege to be able to pray for you as staff and elders over your request. Also want to encourage you, if you're a member of Grace, to continue to give your tithes and your offering to the church. You can do that through our website at www.gbcbak.org. You can also text the amount to give at a different number, 661-276-8255. 8558. And then also you can continue to send your checks to 2550 Joetta Avenue, Bakersfield, California, 93312.